Could we pray before we go to the Word of God? Lord, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we ask you, God, that you would manifest yourself here today as the Word goes forth. We go forth with an anointing. And God, that from the scrolls of heaven, we can read your Word. And by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it can be made manifest here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. I want to look in 2 Thessalonians and in chapter 1 in verse 8. The Bible here says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's two parts there. First of all, taking vengeance on those that know not God. This will be the first category. And then the second category here, it says on those that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Revelations in the 20th chapter, and there's a lot of different understandings of what people present out of that chapter. But God makes it clear in his word that there is going to be a resurrection. First of all, the Bible says in Revelation, the 20th chapter, it goes on to explain in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then the 1,000 years, and when the 1,000 years is expired, it goes on to explain Satan shall be loosed. This is the story here of the millennial reign, which will take place. We, the saint of God, will be a part of that millennial reign. And all those that is of the first resurrection, then this vengeance of God that will be poured out upon those that know not God and those that obey not his gospel, they will be exempt from that outpouring of that vengeance, that wrath. Thank God today that we are a part of the first resurrection. Then the word goes on to say, and it talks about here, in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whom the face of the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, we've got many different understandings here. And there are many people, especially in this area here, that stooped in darkness and stooped in damnable doctrines that they have literally preached and birthed out in their pulpits and in their churches. And it has brought a destruction literally almost to this area and the deep things of God. And the understanding is that people will tell you, well, if your name is in the book, then you're exempt from any sins and you won't be judged in this judgment. That's not according to the Word of God. Why would God say in his word that I'm coming back to take vengeance on those that obey not the gospel of God? I'm going to tell you, God has never given nobody, he's never given anything or anybody an exemption from obeying his word. If we're going to walk the streets of gold, we're going to have to obey his word. But we have a doctrine that has been hatched in hell, that has been brought forth, and this community is stooped in it. I mean, they have buried themselves underneath the lie of that, unto say, because I'm saved, I'm exempt from sin. If that's true, then they're saying that God lied in his word, and God simply said in his word, all right, I'm not going to take vengeance on anybody that professes to be saved. You can go on and lie. You can go on and live disobedient to my word. You can go on and do anything you want to, and you're exempt. What do you think God is, an idiot? What do you think he is? God said what he meant and meant what he said. He said, if you don't obey this Bible, if you don't obey the doctrine and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will take my vengeance on you. There's no exception from that. There's no exemption from it. Amen. God will take his vengeance upon you. You can sit in your nice churches. You can hide in your sins. You can commit your ungodly sins. You can burn in your ungodly lust. You can take your filthy mouths and your filthy minds, and you can wallow in the pit of that. And you can say anything you want to, but at judgment, God said, I am going to take vengeance against you. Amen. I didn't write the book. Amen. The Bible says, he that sinned willfully, after he come the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Hebrews and 10 and 26. He that sinned willfully, after he become the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for him. We cannot continue in disobedience and expect to go to heaven. We cannot continue in sin and expect to go to heaven. Amen. I know I'm not a very popular preacher in this area. I know that people don't like me because they like to commit their ungodly sins in the name of the church. Amen. They like to wallow in their adultery. They like to wallow in their filth. They like to do all the things that they do and live in all the sins they live and say, I'm going to heaven because I've been saved. If you're still in sin, you've not been saved. If you're still wallowing in your lust of your adulterous conditions, if you're still living in the sin and wallowing in the hog pen of sin, you are not saved. I don't care if you're the pastor. I don't care if you're the deacon. You're not saved. God said, I'm coming to take vengeance. I'm coming to take vengeance on those that obey not the gospel, those that know not God, and those that obey not the gospel. God never made an exemption. Amen. And I saw the dead, small, and great stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was the book of life. And the judge were dead, judged out. And he tells you where all they come from. Verse 13. Sea gave up, the dead were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. Now it goes on to say in verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the book. This is the word. And if anybody, you can go on in your attitudes if you want to, but if anybody has the attitude, I'm exempt from obeying the gospel because I'm a Christian, I belong to such and such church, I have been saved, I have been born again, so I'm exempt from that. That's not the word. It's never been the word, and it's not the word today. You're not exempt from your sins. You're not exempt from obeying the gospel. God, amen, has allowed us by his Spirit. We've got sanctification to bring us forth out of that. We're sanctified by the word, the Spirit, the truth, and we're sanctified so that God, and he went on to say, God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. Amen. This salvation we have, it must be paralleled with sanctification. There must be a change in our life. There must be a cleaning up from sin. There must be a separation from sin. We must come to a place that we walk in obedience to God's word. We walk in obedience to the laws of God. The children of God in the Old Testament, they had to be obedient to the commandments of that hour. We're living in the time of grace, and we must be obedient to the message and the doctrine and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must take what Jesus said and we must abide by it. We must live by it. We must walk in the truth of God's word. We must have a life that's been changed. The old man's been cast out. The old nature's gone. The old ways is gone. Amen. You know something? We probably won't change this area. You know, we really, honestly, we will not probably change this area. I'm sorry. They will go on in their self-righteousness. They will go on in their sins. They will go on telling people in their churches until Jesus splits the eastern skies that they're exempt from any judgment. The blood has done this, and this is a fact, but they take it out of context. The blood that was shed on Calvary, it flowed back and it covered the sins of the first man that ever sinned of the Old Testament age. And you know the story how that God delivered the Old Testament saints up to the Father and delivered them on high because he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He had the power of resurrection within him. He overcome death. He overcome the grave. He overcome the tomb. He would not be left in hell according to the word of God. And he came forth on that third day just like he said, just like the word said, just like he spoke. 3 days as though Jonah would be in the heart and the belly of an old whale. And so would Jesus, the Son of God, be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. But on that resurrection morning, that third day, he come forth and he bore the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And thank God he'll rule till he puts down the last enemy, which is death. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody shout glory. Amen. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He that's dead but now is alive and lives forevermore. And he will take vengeance on all those that obey not this gospel. So surely he died for all the sins of the Old Testament. He died for those present. He died for those who was hanging on the cross beside him when he said, remember me this day. When that man which he remembered, that man which asked for remembrance, he died for his sins. He died for the present sins. He died for your sins. When you come to God, the present sins in your life, he died for those sins. And not only he died for those sins, he died for the future sins. He died for the sins of all men when he said, I wish little children you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate of the Father. You have a right to call upon him, and those sins shall be forgiven. But any sin that's not remitted will not be forgiven. To get repentance, you've got to come before God with a repentant heart. You can't pay the priest. You can't go in a little confession booth and confess to the priest, and he tell you to do so many Hail Marys, and you get your deliverance and get your exemption. You will not go to a purgatory and remain there for a season and then pass on into heaven the way you leave here. If you leave here an obedient child of God, an obedient of the gospel, obedient of the truth of God's word, you will walk the streets of gold. But if you leave here in sin, you leave here disobedient to God, in hell you will make your bed. That's hard, and nobody preaches it anymore. But that's a message God called me to preach 45 years ago. And for 45 years across this country, across this nation, and across the world, I preach that same message. It'll take repentance to go to heaven. It'll take repentance to walk the streets of gold. But the doctrines today and the doctrines of man say that the blood, see, here's where they take it out of context. They say the blood automatically does this. The blood does not automatically cleanse your sins if you continue in those sins. Amen. Amen. There comes a time that the blood will not cover them. He said they wouldn't cover them. If you sin willfully, After you come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice you. Listen, my friend, you may not like me. You may meet me on the street and snarl at me. You may sit in your fine churches and drive your fine automobiles and snarl at me. But I'm trying to tell you what'll keep you out of hell. I'm trying to tell you that if you live in your sins and you walk in your sins and you expect them to be automatically forgiven, you'll die in a devil's hell. 10 trillion years from now, you'll be in a devil's hell. You'll step out of your pulpit into the pits of hell. You'll step out of the church. You'll get up out of the church pew, and you'll step into the flames of hell. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. There's no exemption for sin. And there's no automatic set up situation that's going to exempt it. And that's what preachers are preaching. They're getting numbered that way. They're filling up their churches. They're getting big offerings. They're getting hundreds of millions of dollars TV preachers. But telling them, just send your money to us. And the minute that we get your money, God's going to trigger a blessing for you. I'm going to tell you something. Hell's going to be hot for them preachers. Hell is going to be hot for preachers that preach those kind of doctrines. I'm going to tell you the simple way that preachers are saying, well, you just come on to church and you get in the church and God's already got a plan to exempt you from everything. I'm going to tell you something. That's a lie of the devil. And I prove it by the word. Every time I open the word, every time I preach the word, every time I open my mouth, God from heaven sends a message to this area, to this community, to the nation, to all that's in the sound of my voice. Come ye out of your sins. Get out of them. Get out of them. There's no exemption and no exceptions. God wants you to allow him to purge you. And then when you're purged, see, if your mindset, here's what's the dangerous about that. If your mindset, and I know there's some deeper in it than others, there are many, three of the largest churches in this area, the pastor actually tells people that if you're saved, you're exempt from ever have to pray a prayer again of repentance. And that's a lie of the devil. That's how come their churches are full. You take people that are living in sin, living in every kind of sinful situation. You put them up and give them a position in the church. You put them up and you pat them on the back and tell them they're all right. I had a lady that asked me one day, she said, my husband was over at Galax several years back. She said, my husband runs around with women, lays with other women. She said, but when this certain preacher comes to town, said he's always in the front row. And she said, he'll always be the first when the preacher says, who will give $100 here tonight? He's always the first to jump up and say, here's my $100. And she said that preacher will pat him on the back and announce how what a man of God he is and how he supports and lives for the gospel and how he's such a devout Christian. She said, why does that preacher stand there and lie and tell my husband and tell that crowd that he's a devout Christian when he's got two or three women he's sleeping with and he's up to his eyeballs in sin? I said, the preacher wants the filthy lucre. The preacher wants the money. The preacher wants that money in his hand, and he will tell him anything that he can tell him. And that's what's happening in the church today. Preachers are telling people anything they want to hear to get their money, to get their attendance, to get their number. But I've got to go back to the book. He said, in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no amendments. That's the word. That's the truth. And I cannot in any way whatsoever, I cannot tell you anything else today but the truth. The Bible set the blessings and the curses on them over in Deuteronomy in the 11th chapter and verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A curse if you will not obey. That's pretty plain. I can't say it any plainer. That's pretty plain. Then, you know, the Word of God said in 1 Samuel, and I won't take the time for the whole understanding of that chapter, but in the closing remarks down towards the middle part of the chapter, here Samuel and Saul, and Samuel had to say unto Saul in verse 22, and Samuel said, Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as an offering of the voice of the Lord, obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion as is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and adultery, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, thou hast also rejected thee from being king. And it goes on to tell the story of what happened. And you know, from that day that Saul took on a bad spirit, and it was not good for him. I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to be obedient and to hearken to his voice and be obedient in that which all that God has said and done. You know, the word of God said in Acts, then Peter said here in verse 29, he said to the other apostles and answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. There are so many folks that are obeying man. They're obeying a leader that's not teaching them the right way or the truth, and they're obeying man instead of God. And the Bible says this, and it says it so plainly in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? This is what God's word said about it. Some people say, Brother Goad, you're a hard preacher. Somebody has got to preach it hard. Somebody has got to tell the truth. I chose my way many, many, many years ago, and I still choose it this day to preach the gospel and to preach the truth, to tell men and women that they must come out of their sins. They must seek forgiveness. They must repent. And they must come forth in a repentant heart and give their sins forth to God and say, cleanse me and wash me. The psalmist David made many mistakes. Nathan said unto him, thou art the man. And we know all the things that he done. He took another man's wife, put him in battle, and had him killed to cover up his sins. You know the story of it. Him and Bathsheba. And you know the destruction that you know he brought about in people's lives because of his sin. And we hear that Nathan stood and explained and gave an understanding of it. And David sprung forth and said, who is the man? Who is he? And Nathan pointed a finger straight to his face and said, thou art the man. And we find in the Psalms, we find where that David bowed his head and said, Father God, take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore in me a right spirit. We find where he repented. And I believe that God cleansed him. God forgave him. And God is the same God today. God will cleanse you. He will cleanse us from all of our sins and unrighteousness. And as we obey the gospel, he will wash us and cleanse us and make us whiter than snow. We have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And if we do that and we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then God can bless us and he'll bless the efforts of our hand. Wheresoever we goeth, we shall be blessed. We look to the Lord and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask here at this time that God, all those that hear the sound of my voice, whether it go through the World Wide Web, whether it go through the tower stations here locally, or where it's aired as people download this message in the future to listen to this message. Lord, wherever it might be received, heard, or listened to, that the anointing of God might go with it and remind people that God is going to take flaming fire, and he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God, nor those that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask in the name of Jesus, save, set free, and deliver. Heal to the uttermost. Raise up those that are down. Lord, we ask God, give financial miracles and blessings to those without jobs and without finances. God, prevail in men and women's lives that will call upon you. And Lord, we know the end of the book. The righteous shall prevail, but the wicked shall not be so. And that is the promise of this word. And God, I stand upon this word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God love you. God bless you.